Bonjour, autre radio, autre culture, émission également reprise par audiopeople.fr. Aujourd'hui, nous recevons Ivana Manley. Bonjour Ivana.
Bonjour, comment ça va?
Très bien, et vous-même?
Ah, gracias.
Alors Ivana est quelqu'un d'excessivement connu dans le milieu du son, puisque c'est la présidente de la firme Manley Laboratories.
De Chino, California.
Voilà, de Californie.
Aux États-Unis.
Voilà, donc c'est exceptionnel de l'avoir dans nos murs et de pouvoir discuter un petit peu avec elle. Alors, pourquoi ce voyage en France?
Je suis ici, en Amsterdam, pour un salon de IAS, the Audio Engineering Society. And we were there to present to Europe a brand new product from Manley Labs called the Manley Backbone, which is a mastering insert switcher. And it's a brand new product. We're just getting into production right now and follows on from our close relationship with mastering studios for many, many years.
Est-ce que le marché européen est intéressant pour les Américains?
Definitely for us, especially if you think about the exchange rate right now is very favorable for us Americans exporting to Europe. And the American products are very, very inexpensive for Europeans right now. So it's a very good deal for Europeans, and we export a lot of equipment right now. Almost, I think we're selling more equipment into Europe right now than we're selling in America because of the costs are so low comparatively. Another factor, of course, is anything that we wish to purchase from Europe right now is very expensive for us. I mean, taxis here in Paris are very expensive comparatively if I do the conversion of euro to dollar. Whereas if you were in California, you would think our taxis are free. So that's with audio equipment. We're enjoying very good sales right now in Europe. It's a very big market for us. I think it's, well, there's how many million people here? 300 million people here. So it's as big a market as the United States, or bigger actually, right? And another thing to consider too is when you have each country has its own language, there's going to be a built-in market in each country because, you know, French people will need to make French music and the Spanish people making Spanish music and Italian people. Sweden's been a big market for a long time. It's been a center of recording there. So there's a lot of activity here in Europe for us and I'm very happy to be here right now.
Alain Le Kim est avec nous. Donc Alain a réalisé un DVD sur Ivana, n'est-il pas?
C'est exact, oui. J'ai fait un film pour la série de la collection Soundstrips. J'ai fait un film, j'ai passé 10 jours chez Ivana et on a passé pas mal de temps dans l'usine à filmer pratiquement chaque poste de travail de l'usine et j'étais assez impressionné par la rapidité et la perfection avec laquelle ce matériel est fabriqué. Et je pense que en fait c'est encore, je dirais, pour moi c'est flatteur, c'est fabriqué à l'ancienne, c'est-à-dire c'est fait par des personnes qui soudent les pièces une par une. Et moi je dirais qu'un peu pour, si on fait des analogies avec les automobiles, je dirais que c'est un peu comme les Aston Martin du son.
Alors justement, la firme Manley est quand même hyper connue au niveau de la professionnalisation de la construction du matériel. C'est du matériel de très 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 haut de gamme qui est en fait pour les studios d'enregistrement, pour tout ce qui travaille dans le son au niveau professionnel. Mais également, vous me disiez tout à l'heure, au niveau audiophile, c'est-à-dire que vous faites du matériel pour les audiophiles d'excellente qualité.
It was our first market, the hi-fi equipment. Actually, we were building, well, it comes from, I'll start a little history here. In the 1980s, there was a small firm started up by David Manley in England called Vacuum Tube Logic, and then it moved to California, and that's the first company I joined with David and Luke Manley. And we were building hi-fi equipment. About when I showed up, David started designing a microphone preamplifier for a large group that needed like 60 of them. And we won the shootout for the best one, so they ordered 60 of them from us. And there we were. Now we were in the studio business as well. So the studio business was very small at first. For many years, we only had a handful of dealers in the world, and production runs were very small. So we relied a lot on the hi-fi equipment. It was the bigger part of our business for a long time. Over the years, that began to change. when David Manley left Manley Labs in 96, right after that I designed the Vox Box, which has become our best-selling piece, and right at that time also the Variable Mu and the massive passive products selling, you know, hundreds per year. So during the late 90s, the studio equipment were outselling the high-fidelity products, but we still build really interesting high-fidelity products. It's a difficult market. The customers are very crazy sometimes and very fussy sometimes, but we're used to that because studio people can be very fussy as well, and we're used to the pressure of the recording studio guys. They rely on our equipment to earn a living. If this microphone dies right now, we stop the tape and we all are losing time and money. So we're used to the pressure that a professional environment is giving to us.
Est-ce que vous n'avez pas été tenté d'exporter vos industries en Chine ou à Taïwan ou en Inde?
We're exporting a lot to Asia as well. Not as much to China. I think China's a difficult market. It's very spread out, very big, and it also when you consider Chinese people make so little money per week, per month. For home sector, I think we hardly sell anything into China. For professional sector, there's very few private studios we know about. Mostly the sales will be into broadcast. But the rest of Southeast Asia, we've had a great agent in Japan since 1992. So the longevity of our relationship with the agent has helped us be very strong in that market for many years. And recently in Vietnam, we landed a great hi-fi importer. We're selling a lot of hi-fi equipment into Vietnam. I guess it's a smaller place than China. I make a joke.
Est-ce que pour travailler dans votre entreprise, dans votre usine, vous formez vous-même les jeunes? Est-ce qu'il y a une formation pour arriver à un tel niveau exceptionnel?
You're talking about my experience working in the factory?
No, she's asking how do you prepare the people to work in your place? Are they trained to get into the job?
Okay, well, I can best answer that from my own personal experience. When I went out to California in the middle of college, I wanted to work in the music industry, and I, through connections of my father's, got in touch with the Manleys, and I had never soldered or built equipment before in my life, never. And so it was the other people on the production line, like Baltazar, who still works at Manley Labs, who showed me, here's how you solder. Here's the timing of the solder. Feed it just like this. You want your connections to be perfect little mountains. You don't want it gray. You don't want it dull. And he taught me the quality of how to make a perfect solder connection. And then from there, here's how you route the wires. Here's how you screw things together. Use anti-vibration on the nuts so they don't wiggle loose. Just all the little details. As I learned from other people on the line, our people on the line now teach new people how to do it. And when training, even a guy with a college degree who's going to work in quality control, I still prefer to put him on the production line first to learn the very details of how this equipment is constructed. The practical reason is if he has to change a switch or something, he's going to know how because he spent several months training and his skills are good. So it's very important that all of our workers have learned the skills perfectly because it only takes one connection that's wrong, that's done wrong, and the whole unit's not going to work. So everything has to be perfect. It's a big demand, perfection.
Il y a une grosse demande alors pour la perfection de construction du matériel.
Non, est-ce que par big demand, elle dit que c'est très une grosse exigence de qualité.
Ah, une grosse exigence. Parce que je ne sais pas si aux États-Unis c'est la même chose. En Europe, on a un gros problème au niveau financier, économique de la musique, et on sent que les professionnels ont de plus en plus de mal à investir dans du matériel très très haut de gamme.
Oui.
Et comment ça se passe? Comment ça se traduit chez vous?
The question is the decline of the music industry in general, and then we see
then
the remaining
difficult.
People are looking at higher-end equipment, and it's a passion of the people making music. They have a passion, they have a dream, they want to make professional records, so they stretch towards the high-end equipment. And sometimes, you know, they think, oh, if I buy this one microphone, I'll be able to sing like Shakira. Or, you know, if I have this one Mike Preamp, I'll sound like David Bowie. That's a dream that we don't promise them, but it is one reason why the studio people, you know, like the high-end gear, they can't go wrong having the good equipment, but they can go very badly having the wrong equipment. We won't talk about education and the skills of engineering because that's definitely on the decline as well. As you see, many studios closing. Here in Paris, there's been many, many studios closing recently. And that's very sad for us because that's where the skills are. So instead, we're left with a lot of amateur people who have dreams and they're working in their house to record the record, which is, it's nice. It's a passion. It's like we can all go to the racetrack on a special weekend with the car club and drive around, but that doesn't mean that we are professional race car drivers. You know, it's kind of like that, but we're to help people with their dreams. That's what we do.
Est-ce que vous avez vos propres chercheurs au sein de l'entreprise?
Do you have your own designers inside the company?
Ah, yes, absolutely. Our designer, Hutch, we're still working with him. He just went to work with Rupert Neve just now and this year. And he had been our main designer for many years, since the mid-1990s. Alongside with Hutch, mainly working on the hi-fi equipment, is Mitch Margolis, who's really stepped up to be the chief designer at this point. And Mitch is a great tube man. He really knows vacuum tube technology. And he's a very, very clever guy. He also has a gift, like he can read a circuit just like you would read a book. And that's not all the time can you just glance at a circuit and understand everything that's going on the whole page. Mitch is a great designer. I'm really glad that we're working with him right now, a lot more than before. He had designed for us a lot of our high-fidelity products, the shrimp, the snappers, the famous steelhead phono stage, and had reworked a few of the older products as well. The phono stage, the steelhead, has been the top reference in the reviewers community for a few years now, and we like to see the LP, the vinyl record, is coming back in force. I mean, you can buy vinyl records at Amazon.com. It's a big community of LP lovers out there, and we like to be at the front of that industry as well.
Oui, le retour du vinyle, c'est quand même quelque chose d'étonnant, parce que justement, moi, quand j'étais en Californie, Ivana, elle a une collection de vinyles extraordinaire avec un système de lecture magnifique. Et c'est vrai que c'est formidable, le vinyle. Et puis, il y a un côté, bon, c'est peut-être ma génération à moi, mais il y a un côté, la taille des albums, tout ce qui était imprimé dessus. En dehors du contenu musical, il y a aussi ce côté de toucher un objet qui est plus sympathique, en fait, que le CD. Et la taille de la couverture, on sort un peu de la musique, là, mais ça avait un rôle énorme. Parce que on regardait une couverture, même si on ne connaissait pas très bien, si la couverture avait un côté graphique formidable, on avait quand même envie d'acheter, et du coup, ça faisait découvrir des nouveaux groupes. Alors après, on aimait ou on n'aimait pas, mais souvent, on achetait les disques. Moi, je me souviens d'avoir acheté des disques parce que la couverture était formidable, sans avoir jamais entendu ce qu'il y avait à l'intérieur. Et ça, je trouve que c'est terminé maintenant, ça n'existe plus, ça. Et ensuite, la qualité, bon, moi aussi, j'étais un fou de haute fidélité, j'ai un système chez moi qui marche pas mal, qui est un petit peu vieux maintenant, mais qui marche bien. Et c'est vrai que le vinyle, le vinyl, is still much better than CD.
Mais c'est vrai qu'il y a un marché du vinyle qui reprend de l'essor, on le voit en Angleterre, on le voit aux États-Unis, mais c'est surtout en Angleterre en ce moment où ça se fait remarquer. Ça a augmenté, je crois, de plus de 35% les ventes de vinyle rien qu'en Angleterre. Et en France, la pente commence à s'amorcer où les gens recommencent à racheter des vinyles et au moins en fabriquer, ce qui est quand même assez exceptionnel, effectivement. Et as-tu des questions particulières avant que je passe à une autre chose?
J'ai une chose à demander à Ivana parce qu'elle dit toujours « tubes rule ». Qu'est-ce que ça veut dire? What does it mean?
That means that we think that vacuum tubes are the best technology for reproducing music. That's what we think. We love to work with the technology. We love the linearity of tubes. We like the components that we can use with tubes, the finer sounding capacitors, the wire, you know. We like everything about tubes, and that's our... They reproduce the soul of the music. They get your foot tapping. They're very fast and linear, and we like the way they reproduce music. May I step back and talk about from the vinyl?
Sure, of course.
And the demise of CD, you know, CD sales, compact disc sales were down about 35% last year from 2 years before. And if we're not careful, all we're going to be left, well, what's happening, we're left with only files. That's, we're going to be listening to computer files. And one of the attractions with vinyl records is this beautiful artwork. You can read all the lyrics, you can see everything. When you get a file off of iTunes now, you don't even know who was the mastering engineer, who was the recording engineer, where was it recorded. Show me all these beautiful photographs of the recording session. Those extra parts of the experience of listening to music are going to be lost. I don't like that. We're not even talking about the sound.
Est-ce que vous voyez une différence dans l'écoute du son entre l'Europe et les États-Unis?
I think traditionally as I can recall, the taste of listening in, say, Germany versus France is different. Mm. It has to do, yes, there is a difference in Europe and USA, because in USA we have these big houses with very big rooms, and hi-fi systems in the house can tend to be very large, you know, and make a big, loud sound with a lot of bass and a lot of everything, like loud Americans, you know. And I think in Europe, because the spaces are so small, from what I have seen in high-fidelity systems, customers tend to make smaller systems. And the listening... Also, I think Europeans still listen to more classical music on average than we loud Americans do. So the systems are different and the listening styles are different from what I've observed.
Lorsque j'étais en train de tourner le film avec Ivana, elle m'a emmené voir quelqu'un d'assez connu là-bas qui s'appelle Jim Messina, qui est musicien, qui a son propre studio. Et sur la route, on avait 3 heures de route à faire. Qu'est-ce qu'on écoutait? Serge Gainsbourg.
Et
c'était Ivana's choice. C'est Ivana qui avait choisi la musique. C'était pas pour me faire plaisir écouter du français. Elle écoute Serge Gainsbourg.
Oui, voilà. J'aime beaucoup Serge Gainsbourg.
Pourquoi Serge Gainsbourg, justement?
Oh, c'est très fameux de la France, del monde, of the world, you know, and it's... He was... what I listened to in his 1960s recordings is musical styles were very different from what we were listening to in USA. And I think he was very ahead of his time musically, the texture of his arrangements, his instrument choices, and very clever with the words, of course, you know, as you know better than I. I love Serge Gainsbourg. And then... also, we were listening to some Brazilian music on the way.
Yeah, that's right.
Os Mutantes, which also from the same era.
That's right.
That's a Brazilian group. And I also have a big love for Brazilian music popular in Brazil, such as Gilberto Gil and Jorge Ben and Maria Bethânia. And the compositions are just so beautiful. The instrumentation's just... I wish all music sounded like that.
Est-ce qu'il y a des fabrications de certains matériels dans votre usine pour certains types de musique? Est-ce que vous avez des types de compresseurs pour de la musique urbaine, enfin ce qu'on appelle la musique urbaine?
Okay.
Est-ce que vous avez des types de compresseurs pour le classique et autres?
Not necessarily different types of music. However, sometimes we'll have a feature that will work really well with something like if you add a bass filter to a compressor so that the compressor will ignore the bass line, such as in rap or heavy urban music, then the whole compressor won't respond to just the bass. It will take in all the rest of the music. So the bass line won't drive the whole compressor. That's a feature that we add to all of our limiters at this point. So that's very specific to that type of music, yes. Classical music, many times they're looking for absolute transparency and the speed. They don't want any coloration from transformers or more feedback. So, for instance, we do make some very clean-sounding preamplifiers, such as the preamp found in the SLAM, And the tube preamp in the TNT mic pre is also very clean. Additionally, yes, we do manufacture GML equipment for George Massenburg. So all of the GML equipment, which is very fast, transparent, solid-state equipment, is made at our factory for George in California. And GML products traditionally have been very well received by classical engineers, for instance. It doesn't mean that they're not also found in rock and roll studios, but anyway. Our microphones, our gold microphones, are very natural and transparent and fast device. You would find that very useful for ambient recordings, say in a concert hall, of picking up the hall, or in piano. Or you might find it in front of David Bowie's voice. You know, it's good for everything. We make another microphone with a little more color. It's called the Reference Cardioid microphone. It is cardioid pattern only, and you'll find that with a lot of those pop groups, actually. There's been all those Disney bands that came out of Florida, the Boyz II Men and Britney Spears and all that stuff. All those guys were using that microphone. It's also the favored microphone of a very famous film announcer called Don LaFontaine. He's the one who always announces, "In a world where all microphones are manly," you know, for movie trailers. So he is, as they say, the voice of God. So the voice of God is speaking through a manly microphone. That makes us really happy.
Est-ce que vous arrivez, il y en a qui arrivent à reconnaître le type de matériel qui est utilisé rien que dans les enregistrements, est-ce que vous arrivez à reconnaître en disant, ah, ça c'est fait avec mes machines?
Can you guess when you hear some music if it's been recorded or treated through your equipment?
Not necessarily. With so much processing that goes on after the initial recording, you can't necessarily pick out. Oh yeah, that was a Manly mic or that was a Neumann. Not all the time. In mastering, sometimes I'm going to hear the qualities of, like, the Manly variable mu, which you'll probably find that limiter in 8 of 10 of the best mastering houses in the world. And a lot of times with the way there's a specific sound about that unit that makes the piece sound like a finished rock and roll record. You hear that on a lot of records out there. But I don't know. If you played me 2 different tracks, honestly, could I say, oh, yeah, that one had a so-and-so? Probably couldn't tell you that, honestly. Does that mean that this gear matters or doesn't matter? Well, yes, it does, because if you can see what's going on, well, yeah, then it's going to make more of an impact. A blind test about trying to guess what gear was on the tracks, I don't know. Maybe some people are good at that.
Depends how much, as you say, how many treatments add up.
Sure.
You know, if there's only one gear, maybe they can recognize. But if after that there's another one, and then another one, and then a mastering one,
and so many
tracks,
it becomes
very tricky to realize. You know, to say, okay, definitely this is a Manly microphone or a Neumann.
What if it's
U67 or whatever?
Rock and roll record that's been compressed with 1 dB of dynamic range. I don't know if you're going to hear any subtleties about anything on the whole record, except maybe you know that what made that dynamic range so damn small was either, you know, push the button in Pro Tools, normalize, or a Waves L2, or maybe a Manly Slam. Those 3 units, for example, would do that trick of destroying your dynamic range completely. I like to say, we build guns, we don't pull the triggers. You don't always have to over-abuse the equipment like that. But the producers say, hey, I want this thing louder. I want it to jump off the radio louder. And they make the mastering engineers compress the hell out of everything these days. It's sad, but c'est la vie.
Alors effectivement, la firme Manley Laboratories fabrique non seulement des compresseurs, mais également des equaliseurs, des mixeurs, des préamplificateurs et plein d'autres choses comme cela. Est-ce que vous êtes en cheville avec des fabricants de câbles?
Oh, we don't make the cable. The cable is important, though, especially with vacuum tube designs, when sometimes you have a very high impedance, and if there's any cableage inside the unit, that's a long distance run, maybe a third of a meter. No, that's too much. Maybe A foot,
one foot in a, is a third of a meter.
A third of a meter. Okay. So if you have a third of a meter of cable that's running into, say, 200 kiloohms, all the capacitance on that cable is going to add up and start rolling off your high frequencies. So the cable choice is important. Now, we don't make it, but I polled many of my hi-fi friends and had them send bunches of cables to us, and I measured each of them to find which was the lowest capacity cable we could use that had a good symmetry, a good construction, a silver wire, good shielding, and that's what we use because you don't want to lose your high frequencies on the cable.
Est-ce que c'est une question qu'Ivana pose quand elle vend du matériel, de poser la question avec quel type de câble ils vont connecter les machines, puisqu'on sait que la qualité de la machine dépend aussi de la qualité du câble.
Of all the components inside, the cable carrying the signal from the back of the unit to the front is just one component. All the components do matter. The potentiometers, the capacitors, the tube sockets. How reliable are those parts? How do they sound? All these things matter. Everything matters.
But she was asking, do you recommend, when you're selling equipment, do you say, okay, you better use it with this kind of equipment, with this kind of cable instead of another, because, you know, it might sound better or it might, do you do that when people recommend your equipment, do they specify that it should be better used with, you know, and according to what it is used for, do they specify a cable as well?
Well, we have not exactly like that. We have a handful of friends, you know, that we've shared trade shows with. We know they have good companies. They have good quality cable. It's manufactured nicely. And we can give recommendations like that for people. But I think some of the hi-fi fun, the part of the hobby that the customers really enjoy, is to play with their system and to tweak their system. So they like to sit and listen to cable and compare for themselves, you know. I like to stay out of that and let them have their fun, you know. And then sometimes it gets a bit excessive. And even with vacuum tubes, they'll write to me and say, oh, if I use this new old stock Philips 1287, will it sound better than the Russian one that you put in the unit? And I usually answer with some sarcasm, well, the more you spend on that vacuum tube, I bet the better it will sound to you. So it's a little bit of a joke, but the hi-fi customer likes to play with the system and make little tunings and try to hear the differences, and we let them have their fun with that.
Je sais que Alain Le Kim a travaillé et a réalisé donc un DVD sur Ivana, qui devrait sortir quand?
Eh bien, je pense qu'il va sortir assez rapidement, dans la mesure où j'attends la musique, et la musique a été composée par le neveu d'Ivana. Donc, on attend qu'il ait un peu de temps, parce qu'il travaille aussi beaucoup chez Manley, il n'a pas que ça à faire. Et donc, dès qu'il a fini la musique, on mixe le film et il sort. Voilà. Donc, ça devrait être assez rapide.
My nephew, Chris, he's my little clone. He also studied music in college, and much more music than I studied in college, I admit, and did a lot of composition studies in college. Some of his assignments were he had to take an existing film sequence and rescore new music for it. And so he's very talented at that, much better than I am. So Christopher is going to be scoring that music in about 2 weeks.
That's going to be great.
It will be good.
Dans la réalisation des machines, est-ce que vous pensez que tout a été découvert ou on n'est qu'à l'aube de machines extraordinaires?
She's saying, when you design new machine, do you think that everything's already been discovered and it's just a matter of tweaking the stuff to make it, you know, to be sure it's perfect? Or do you think we are at the eve of new discoveries that are going to completely change the industry or even the music industry, I mean, even the sound?
Sure, there's new discoveries and new methods of bringing this stuff forward all the time. I mean, we've been at the leading edge of our little world, our little audio world. I'm not saying we sent men to the moon from Chino, but we were the first to do a lot of things in audio. We were the first to to use in production the very famous converters of the early 1990s, the ultra-analog converters. The Steelhead, that phonostage, to me it was an obvious problem. Like, why if I want to set the cartridge loading, do I have to open up the unit and solder in some resistors or go to the back and switch some dip switches or plug in something for loading? How come nobody's made a phono preamp where you can just turn the knobs and listen to the effect right then and there? So that was something very innovative, I think. I think it was obvious to me, but no one else was doing it, so we did that first. Lots of stuff. Sometimes we take it all for granted.
D'autres questions,
non,
Alain?
Tu as posé les questions que je voulais poser, donc c'est parfait. Pour ce qui me concerne, on a dit beaucoup de choses déjà.
Quels sont les projets futurs de l'entreprise? Est-ce que vous avez l'intention de vous ouvrir vers d'autres types de machines, d'autres types de sons, d'autres types de compresseurs?
All the time. We're always thinking of new things, so... What's new this year is this mastering switcher. We were building many custom pieces before for many mastering engineers. And custom design work is very intensive, takes a long time, and it's very expensive. So finally we have a new product that's doing that job in production now. Sometimes we think, well, wow, we've thought of everything. And you hit a minute where you don't have any ideas, and then all of a sudden more ideas come. So I'd like to do a new... preamplifier with some digital inputs and analog inputs in it to replace the wave that's already in production. Compressors, I think we've got those bases pretty well covered right there. We're just working on a lot of little things that maybe nobody really notices, like automatic bias control, just little features in the amplifiers. So there's always little nettoyage, little cleanups to do, and those aren't very glamorous, but... We're working on, there's another product we're working on I can tell you about. It would work right here in this room. It's a box where you plug in four microphones and four microphone preamplifiers, and you can matrix and select from the control room which one is being used. So you tell the singer, okay, there's four mics in front of you, start singing, and you push the buttons, and you can make a selection which microphone sounds good on her voice. Then you can make selection of the microphone preamplifiers and choose the best one there as well. That's a very handy box that really doesn't exist in the world right now that we know about. It's clever, it's very useful. Maybe it's not so glamorous or famous, but I can see a lot of studios will be buying those.
Yes, there is one thing I'd like to ask Ivana. I know she spends a lot of time on email. I think she takes a lot of attention to all the customers, wherever they are. I've seen her there. She's in her office. She says, well, I can't do anything. I'm answering the mail. She does answer personally the mail of all the customers, wherever they are, which I think is quite unique. And I just, maybe you can elaborate on that. Why do you do that, you know?
People are thrilled when they get an email back from me, you know, oh my God, the president of the company wrote back to me. So customer service, I think, is very important. And it's one thing that we're completely strong with. We have great tech support via myself or Paul, who's my tech support guy, been with us for more than 10 years. And Paul and I answer, he focuses on more the, my thing is broken, I need it to get fixed type emails, and I focus more on the general questions from customers. And together, we give customers answers so quickly and thoroughly. We have all schematics for everything we've ever built. We have good product history and documentation we can help people with just about anything. And a lot of companies don't provide that. Many times, you write to a company to ask which tube is in this unit, and you don't even get a reply, or they don't even remember. So that's one thing that it's easy for us to do that differentiates us from other companies is our excellent tech support and product support worldwide, too, because, say, here in France, there are two technicians in Paris who have been to the factory for weeks of training from the guys. They know exactly how the stuff is built, how to fix it. And with the internet, of course, the communication is very, very good for sending PDF of schematics and photographs of oh, this is what's burned up, you know. We can fix anything. That's one good thing about vacuum tubes. The big parts are easy to fix. I can't even read the surface mount value on a resistor. My eyesight is going away. Vacuum tube stuff is pretty easy to fix, I think so. But good tech support, good customer support is entirely important to us. We really do focus on it.
Alors, juste une question de femme à femme. Est-ce que ça a été facile pour vous, Ivana, de vous imposer sur le marché industriel en tant que femme?
Well, I've answered this question many, many times.
Oui,
you know,
oui.
Sometimes I don't think of myself as male or female. I just know I have a job I have to do. And sometimes people are freaked out that, oh my God, but chicks aren't supposed to know these things, you know? That's like a man's world, all this technical stuff, but I don't know. I grew up, I always enjoyed industrial things and fabrication, building tree houses when I was little, running around, playing in the mud. I didn't play with dolls, really. I was always outside and building and constructing little push cars and little things. So for me, I've always had this in my life, and I suppose I get this from my grandfather, who also loved to fix things and build things, and I spent a lot of time with him, and he was a big influence on my life, definitely. So for today, I guess I stand out because, hey, it's good for promotion. People remember me because I'm that tube chick, you know, the girl that does the tube stuff, and there's not too many others, so okay, I'll use it to my advantage. No problem. Pas de problème.
Vous restez combien de temps encore en France?
Je partis à demain.
Ah, vous partez demain.
I'm leaving tomorrow to go back. I'm home for one day and then out again for two more trade shows. A small dealer show and then an interesting show called Potluck Con that's in New Orleans. And we will see how New Orleans fared after the hurricane. So there'll be a really good group of engineers at that conference, and it'll be fun to see everybody again. I love the community of the pro audio world. You know, we're so many friends, and these trade shows are, I love just going to socialize, you know. It's fun. It's fun to see all my friends.
Alain, encore des questions à poser?
Non, je pense qu'Ivan a répondu à tout ce qu'on lui demandait.
Je vous remercie beaucoup, Ivana,
merci à vous
d'être venue. En plus, parce que le séjour en France était très court. Et je vous remercie beaucoup d'avoir accepté de passer une heure avec nous. À bientôt, Ivana. Bon courage, bon show.
Bonne chance.
Et
merci.
Bonne chance.
Gracias.
Bien, merci beaucoup à vous tous. Et puis
merci.
À très bientôt. Ici, Autre Radio, Autre Culture. Au revoir. Autre radio, autre culture.